If you're watching this show on YouTube, you missed the first part of the show. You missed the misery. That is miseries of the one true Niz. Misery. You missed it. If you want to see it, you're going to have to go to the Liberty Principle Facebook page and check that out. This is His Daily Wednesday. I am Paul Gordon, and I am here with the one true Niz. I'll say hi to everybody that's watching right now. Yeah, I got to say hi to Larry Cousins, and Becca. Those are the two that I've seen posted so far or showed up so far. So the title of this show is If Hating Guns Means Putting Kids at Risk, Let's Do It. So that's going to be our opening story, and we have a story that's somewhat related to that we're going to share that Niz dug up. On our Skynetter segment, we're going to be talking about getting road for Robo Army America. Army America. Robo Army America. We're going to be talking about Robo Army America. And on Liberty Tech, we're going to end with something hopeful, blockchain banking, although it's kind of scary because I know it involves AI, which is probably going to trigger you. And that's blockchain banking, thanks to Amanda. Wait, you know an Amanda, don't you?
I know. I do, yeah. How do you like that?
Well, this Amanda is an AI that's going to make everything right with the world. I told the one true Niz before the show, I believe that everyone should make the effort at least 3 times a day in a public setting that you know is going to be documented in a place where the robots can later access it.
Right. Every time you walk past a public security camera, you need to look up and say, hey, it's me. I welcome the robot overlords. Everyone is going to look at you like you're crazy. But when the metal ones come for you... they'll be regretting that they weren't the lunatic out there saying they welcome the robot overlords to every camera. Like
that guy, you get to fife them in the robo world.
right.
You get to help round up the humans. good times. Let's get to our top story here. And it's an old story. It happened back in November, but at the time, not a lot of people were talking about it. I mean, it got a little bit of play, but it didn't get much. I think in light of what's going on right now with the histrionics over guns following the Florida shooting, that I think it's timely to bring it up, because I personally think that this has a narrative to it that kind of goes against all of their claims of being for the kids. But before we do that, let me play the bump for this segment. Got to do that. Dude, I almost forgot to do that. You're about ready to enter newsfire.
What are the big stories, the big headlines everyone else is focused on? And what, if anything, can we, who pursue the power to act without threat or action of physical force, learn from these stories? This is Newsfire, where we set your news on fire.
Yes. Oh, by the way, if you want to call in, the number is... scrolling across the screen there, it's 1-903-218-220-81. If you want to call in and complain, great. I'll let you talk for 2 seconds and then I'll hang up on you. No, I'm just kidding. At least 5 seconds. I give you.
Hang up on you. I'll pull Mark Levin, you big dummy.
Get off the phone, you big dummy.
Yes. So it's legislation that passed in California. You read the article. Do you want to go over this article? How do you want to do this?
Go for it, man. Because I brought the other article. So
all right, okay. So California is, well, it's basically, as I put it, it's an innovator. It's an innovator in a really, really horrible way. It finds clever ways to keep infringing on an individual's ability to legally, and when I say legally, I mean without threat of coercion, acquire, possess, and carry effective tools of self-defense, which are simply guns. So They passed legislation back in November of 2017 that outlawed, it's AB 424. It's introduced by Assemblyman Kevin McCarthy, a Democrat from Sacramento. By the way, when I say Assemblyman Kevin McCarthy, I just want to make it clear that there should be like a hissing sound when I say that name. You're like, something like, or like villainous music comes up when you hear that. So apparently some California districts, they decided to allow for qualified teachers to and staff to conceal carry on campus as a way to defend themselves and their students from potential shooters. Well, Assemblyman Kevin McCarthy to the rescue. He's not rescuing kids, by the way. He's rescuing mass shooters. So they have signed into law that it's strictly prohibited for anyone to have a gun in possession. And if you are caught, like even if you use your gun in self-defense, that's no excuse. You're still going to be penalized in the full extent of the law, such as the law, quote-unquote, allows. So what they've essentially done here is they've written legislation that it's I mean, and Jerry Brown signed it. Jerry, I hate guns more than I love children, Brown signed it. And it basically, it assures that psychopaths looking for target-rich safe killing zones, where they know that they have a target-rich area, and they know that they can kill without consequence for at least a good 10 minutes, if not longer.
Not longer.
They know exactly where to go. Go ahead.
I didn't say anything.
Oh, I heard myself, like an echo of myself there for a second, and I thought it was you. Our voices are kind of similar. So they know exactly where to go. That's just the schools, man. They just made the target around California schools even bigger. And this is where I get the title for this show, because usually the titles are the top, you know, the first story we're going to cover. They hate guns more than they love children. They hate guns so much that they're willing to put children at risk. I'm missing anything here? Can you correct me in my error of my ways and show me how these guys?
No,
the
whole thing is absolutely incredible. I mean, the gun-free school zone that they had in Florida didn't protect anyone. I'll just tell you that right now. That they didn't protect any. You can go right down the list here on this. I mean, you had the other Florida shooting in Orlando. What was that? When was that? A couple years ago, right?
Yeah,
at the nightclub, gun-free zone didn't save anyone, didn't help anyone.
Well, it helped the shooter.
Well, absolutely right. It ensured that he could continue unimpeded.
Yeah, and I do want to. I kind of covered this a little bit last week. We actually covered the Florida shooting, in which basically I don't use expletives during shows. I try not to, but I think I've used 4 or 5 last week. But one thing I do want to make it clear, I don't. What's that?
You were on a roll last week.
I was on a roll. I was on a roll.
In very rare form.
I was hot under the collar. But I'm not saying, you know, just because you have a gun, it doesn't make you invincible. It doesn't mean that you actually would have stopped someone. But I like my chances better if somebody has a gun, if I have a gun. I mean, ideally, if I'm facing a rifle, I would like to have a rifle in response. But if I had a choice between my finger or a handgun, I'm going to pick a handgun. So what they've done is they've criminalized anyone using their gun in self, in essence. The legislation doesn't explicitly say this, but I think I talked about this just yesterday, Monday. I talked about this on Monday. And by the way, I encourage you, go to isdaily.live. You see different show notes, and one of them is the gun the secret history of the secret racist history of gun control. But in that, I talk about how legislation works. They're not writing legislation to go out and confiscate your guns because they know they can't do that. They're writing legislation that does two things. One, it
criminalizes the use of that weapon, whether it's for, even if it's for defense.
Right. So you can say, well, you know, they could pass all the laws they want. I'm still going to keep my guns. Well, great. I agree with you. But the minute that you have to use that gun in self-defense, you are going to be prosecuted, I can assure you. And the same cops that won't go to your home to confiscate your guns, oh, no, they'll arrest you for this. And then they will confiscate your guns. You, as an individual, they'll confiscate your guns. And they'll be sure to do everything they can to gather the evidence so that you can be prosecuted for violating the gun laws. So this is how this works. So, yeah, they could pass this law.
And then on top of that, you get good news, everyone. You're now a felon.
Good news. Right.
And barred from ever owning guns again. I mean, congratulations. Right. Congratulations. You saved 20 people from getting murdered by a freaking lunatic. But at the same time, now you're also a felon. And we'll see you in 5 to 10 minimum. And when you get out, you'll never own a gun again.
You know, legally. I just realized that, you know, America should change its name because they have so many laws on the books that I can't remember the name of the guy that wrote. You know what? I'm going to check it out. What is it? The name of the book, it's 3 Felonies a Day, something like that. But there's so many laws out there that you don't even know that you've broken. That you're not you're a good citizen and you really want to make sure that you're an upright kind of guy. And the guy's name is Harvey Silverglate. Silverglade? 3 Felonies a Day, How the Feds Target the Innocent is the name of the book. But, you love America. You love following the laws and the rules of laws and all that stuff and law and orders. You're probably still committing at least one felony a day. So I think that America should be retitled, and it should now be known as Felontopia. I'm putting it out there. Instead of the stars and bars, just the bars.
Just the bars. Just the bars.
Somebody meme that, please. There's got to be some memes out of that. I expect some of you. I see John Smith is on. Hi, John Smith. And hello, Richard Gurry and Brian Barker as well. And I typed hi to Ken Odinger. How you doing? But I know that, John, you're capable. You can meme this. Do me proud,
just
buddy.
Just the bars.
Right. Just the bars.
But isn't that
no
the point,
stars,
though?
No more stars, just bars.
Isn't that the point, though? Because at any point, if they decide this guy's got to go, the laws are so voluminous that, you know, like you said, with that quote,
you.
3 felonies a day, they want to get you. They're going to come get you.
Yeah, that's the point. And that's the point of this legislation, which is... Well, yeah. I mean, you could say, well, sure, they could pass this law, but I'm still going to carry. Oh, my gosh. Look, I'm looking at the cover picture here. Let me see if I got – do I got the – okay, here we go. I got the website thing. Okay. Let's see if I can get you – let me see if I can click on this and you can see that. There it is. You see the image there, folks? That's the cover for 3 Felonies a Day. That's what I'm talking about, except you just glob off the stars part. Just make it there, the bars.
Just give me the bars.
Harvey, man, I'm telling you, Harvey, it's Harvey Silverglate. That's an awkward name, isn't it?
It is.
It's like Silvergate. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Silverglate
is a typo. It doesn't exactly roll off the tongue.
No, it looks like a typo. Sorry, Harvey. No offense, but yeah.
But
yeah.
It's your name.
That offends me. That offends me.
So what they've done here is, yeah, they you can carry. They're not going to be able to find everybody who's carrying. They're not going to be able to send people out to frisk people and do whatever the crap they're going to do. Or they could pay millions, gazillions dollars to set up the metal detector systems that some schools have. But the bottom line is, some people, if they really want to carry in the school, they can. They can't stop them. But the minute that you have to use it, that's when you're in trouble. So now, if you do happen to have a gun on you, and you happen, like, maybe you're a parent, you're coming to the school, maybe you're not even thinking about it, you know, I carry, and you know, the philosophy of carry is ABC, always be carrying. That way, if you ever, most of the time, I don't really feel like I need to carry. I don't feel that much of a threat. But you do it anyway, because then you never forget. It's better to have a gun when you don't need it than to not have a gun when you need it. So you could easily walk into a place like a gun-free zone and forget. By the way, John Smith said, yes, yeah, Harvey, you should change your name to Please the Paul. That is absolutely correct, John Smith. That is spot on analysis. Hey, you should call in. You'd be a fine addition to the show. That's witty and insightful and truthful analysis. But, you know, you're going to forget. So you walk into a gun-free zone, something goes down. And, I mean, you got two decisions to make. The first one is, do I want to risk my life? And then after you think about, do I want to risk my life? Now they've put another impediment that would prevent someone who may be able to stop the shooter from stopping the shooter. And that is, do I want to be arrested and prosecuted and lose the quote-unquote right to bear arms?
This seems very Australia-like. It seems like they are modeling this.
Oh, Australia is after the dream.
This is something that now California has in common with Australia, is that it is illegal in Australia to use a gun for self defense.
Okay, so there you go. It's illegal to. I did not know that. Right. That's new information for me. So So there you have it again. That's what people don't understand about these gun laws, is they don't have to be enforceable. It's much easier for them to selectively enforce it once you actually have to use the gun. But, you know, I just read a story recently, and I can't remember the details because I kind of glanced over it, but somebody found an intruder in their home. Now, it might turn out this person's story is not right, but still. I don't know. So he allegedly found an intruder. He beat him on the head with a shovel, killing the intruder. And then he tried to get rid of the body. And the reason he tried to get rid of the body is because he was what he claimed was, he was thinking that, hey, even though I had a legitimate reason to swing on this guy because he was trying to break into my home, I may have some legal issues, so it's better to just get rid of the body. Yeah, that's what you're going to do in California. if you end up having to use your gun, you take someone out, and you know you were totally defending yourself. It doesn't matter. Even if it was totally revealed that you were defending yourself, you still might get prosecuted. So you might... Yeah, you might decide to just go ahead and get rid of the body. Just saying.
This is how absurd, Paul, to say. I posted this here in the chat on Facebook. So if you're on YouTube right now, and you're watching live, you missed it. But don't fret, because I will repeat it. I just posted in the chat here on Facebook. Australia. Owning any object for the purpose of self-defense, whether it is lethal or non-lethal, is a criminal offense. And that stems from that 1996 legislation that they passed, or that effectively outlawed firearms.
I was trying to think of a witty repurposing of the song Down Under, and I couldn't come up with it. I come from the land down under. Mm. Where women glow and soy boys plunder? I couldn't think of it.
I don't think soy boys plunder. I don't think they prance.
Where soy boys blunder. Where women sashay. Blow and soy boys blunder. What'd you say?
I said they sashay. They prance. I don't know if they necessarily blunder.
They blunder. Okay, well, by my standards, they're, when it comes to life, they're blundering. Richard Gurry said, ABC, always be carrying 75 gallons of hydrochloric acid. Just in case. Either that or if you could put a pig farm in your pocket, because pigs, they'll eat anything. They'll eat that. They'll eat the bones. So keep a pig farm in one side, in one pocket, and keep your gun in the other pocket. That way, you know, when the need arises, you know, you just throw them into the pig farm and no muss, no fuss. That's the end of that. So what's your related story you have here?
Actually, you know, when we're seeing this right now, this huge, I guess I could say activist outreach, I guess you could say. I'm not really sure what to call it. The agenda is in full swing, the gun grabber agenda.
Oh, they think they got something here now.
You're seeing this in the media. Right, right. They've got something here now. They're parading all these kids around. You know, you're having mass protests staged all over the country. These goofy kids are walking out all over school, from schools all over the country. It's on the news. It's on the TV. It's on the radio. It's on the web. I mean, everybody's talking about, we got to get rid of those evil AR-15s. And you have some voices. You have some voices that are speaking out. They're saying, "Hey, you know what? Let's not do this. Let's instead empower individuals to take their own self defense and the defense of our children into their own hands and take it seriously." And you hear all kinds of arguments against this. But one of the practical applications in favor of this actually comes – and I know some people on – especially where we're broadcasting this right now, you may recoil in horror, but
– You may trigger me with this article, but go ahead.
I may trigger some people here with this article, but I'm going to tell you that this is – there is some substance here to this.
I'm going to show the article here.
This comes from me. Israel National News, and this is an article that was published on 2/15/2008 in Israel National News. Basically what this article – I'm not even going to try to pronounce this guy's name because I don't speak Hebrew or whatever the heck that name is. But there's not a whole lot of vowels in that name. It's an awful lot of consonants all jammed together.
That's Zvi-Lev. Zlev.
What he said. So anyway, basically this article points out how before I think it was 1974, Israel had some really, really tight gun laws, and they ended up they had a school shooting, an attack at a school. Several students were killed, several students injured. And basically, Israel's response to this was, "Hey, let's loosen the gun laws, let's loosen the gun legislation, let's get more of our citizens armed, and let's make sure that there are armed personnel in our schools to protect our children." And guess what? That little sign that they hung up on the door that says, our staff, our faculty they are armed and trained and authorized to use deadly force to protect our children. Guess how many school shootings they've had since then?
I don't know, but
a big fat goose egg.
Zero. But I want to. There's a part of this article that kind of triggers me. In Israel, gun ownership is a privilege rather than a right. There is no such thing as a right to bear arms in Israel. Israel has to show, if you want a gun, you have to show genuine cause to carry a firearm, such as self-defense or hunting. I fundamentally disagree with all that. Let's just throw that out there. And also, if I understand right, in Israel, I could be wrong, but I believe that you have to be a member of the military to own a firearm. Of course, in Israel, it's also mandatory.
They have it's mandatory. If you are an Israeli citizen, you at one point, you had to serve with the IDF.
Yeah, most likely. But there are some, not everybody has to serve, but I think you got to go jump through some serious hoops to be exempted from serving. I don't know the exact laws, but anyway, that part sucks, and the mandatory serving in the military, that part also sucks. But the point being that Israel recognized, hey, we actually need, now, I would say, you know, when it comes to guns in schools, teachers carrying guns in schools, I'm like, that's not really an argument that I can even have, because we're talking about public schools. And I'm fundamentally opposed to public schools. And I don't know how I feel about arming government employees who are taking care of the children's, who I'm going to say don't have a great record. So,
well, and on top of that, also, you also have to consider that, you know, the American public education system is by and large a leftist indoctrination camp. I mean, from K all the way to college is pretty much a leftist indoctrination camp that you're sending your kids to these progressive daycare gulags, from K to, like I said, from K to college. And, do you really want to have that left limp-wristed leftist soy boy, that doesn't even right, that doesn't – they don't want firearms. These are the people that want to ban firearms, and we're going to say, oh, here you go. Take a gun. That's not where I'm really what I'm saying. I mean, the direction that I would go with this is that we have – thousands, hundreds of thousands of retired military veterans that are driving school buses, that are checking your receipt as you walk out of the door. Well, let's give these guys their rifles back. Give them back their rifles and say, hey, you spent how many years, serving in the military? Now go protect our children. Make sure our children don't get smoked by some freaking wacko.
So we got Larry. Larry saying Ben Stein made some great points today, saying that the general public need not own AR-15s. And he quoted Ben Stein here saying Ben Stein can get bent, by the way. Like, seriously.
Right.
Like
Ben Stein can suck it, and so can Larry, because yeah, Larry. Who the hell are you to think that you're so freaking pompous that you can come and tell me what it is that I want or need? Screw you, man.
Yeah, that's
need to
That's
want
not
or
how
need.
Quote rights work. I don't have to right. prove that I need this or I don't need this. So his quote is, an AR-15 is a weapon that is extremely seductive. It looks like a weapon of war, makes a person who's a big nerd be able to go into a gun shop, buy it, come out feeling like he's Rambo. I think that's true sometimes. I don't think that's true most of the time. AR-15 is actually, it's an extremely practical gun. The design, it's a good working design. It's a gun that you can switch around and do in all types of configurations. It's highly modular. It's a very practical design. The fact that it looks military is because the military once used a version of it. They used an actual assault rifle version of it. The AR-15 is simply a semi-automatic rifle that fires, I mean, for the most part, an AR-15 fires the 223.556. You can actually even reconfigure that to fire different calibers. Oh, and Larry says, moreover, Stein continued that the AR-15 is not practical for private ownership because it is not an ideal target shooting weapon, not an ideal hunting weapon, not an ideal home defense weapon. There is no such thing as an ideal target shooting weapon, an ideal hunting weapon, or an ideal home defense weapon. It has its purposes, it has its limitations, it has its advantages. I wouldn't use an AR-15 in the home unless you had some serious ear protection on, because you're going to do some bad things. But yeah, there's plenty of folks that use AR-15s to hunt, and they're highly effective.
Right,
but,
and that round, the 223, that's a varmint round. These people are making it out like it's a freaking bazooka, and we're not talking about an extremely high powered rifle here.
22 caliber. It's powers and its speed. But listen, Larry. Larry wants to say that it's not practical for home ownership, private ownership. Who cares? I don't care if it's practical for private ownership. That's not Ben Stein's call to determine what is practical and what's not practical and to make a prescription list based off of that.
Right. Ben Stein, and who are you to tell me what I can and can't deem as practical? Who are you to make that decision for me? What gave you the authority to make that decision for me or for my family or for whatever my needs may be?
And even these quotes show that Ben Stein really doesn't know. I Larry likes to troll me, and I have a feeling that's what Larry's doing here. Larry's pretty much a gun rights guy, as far as I know. But and he knows a lot about guns, so he would know. Larry, you have to know that those quotes there are not indicative of somebody who really has any significant understanding of the AR platform. It is a very practical gun, but even if it wasn't, I don't care. Okay, I want to have a gun that what's the name of it? Is it North American Defense? I forget. They make these little Derringers, and they're really cool. You can do like 22 long rifle, and some of them are like 5-shot little revolvers, and they're not very practical. I mean, they're not very accurate to any distance, but I want one, and I want one because it's beautiful. It's cool looking. It's neat. It's nothing practical about it, but I want it, and I don't want it a prescription list based off of that. And Richard Gurry said an egg slicer is not practical. Wait, I think egg slicers are practical, Richard. I don't have one, and now that you say that, I'm like, dude, I don't have an egg slicer.
I got to get an egg slicer.
I got to get an egg slicer. Hey, John Smith says McNukes everywhere. You know what, John? I belong to the Bear Nukes Coalition. The Bear
the
Nukes
caucus.
Caucus.
Bear Nukes Caucus.
Yeah,
correct.
You do too, right?
That's right. Yes. I designed the emblem.
Okay, well, you definitely belong. So, yeah, I belong to the Bear Nukes Caucus. So that's
right.
That's
right.
That's the person you're talking
right. Mini to. Mini nukes for everyone.
Mini nukes for everyone. Right. You know, I was listening to a podcast today. It was Thaddeus Russell was on with the young Nick Hazelton. Nick is awesome. I have to have Nick on one of our shows soon. But Thaddeus Russell was making a point about nuclear weapons and about how the United States, they have the power. I don't know if this is what he said. I don't know whether this is accurate or not. If it's not, it's probably close to accurate. That they have enough power within one of their nuclear ballistic missile subs to basically annihilate all of China within 5 minutes with a simple order. Now, I don't know how accurate that is, but it's probably not far off. And he made a point that this is an incredibly expensive system that needs a lot of resources, a lot of money, and it's not something that any entity could produce. You would have to be a huge, like the largest, most powerful, coercive enterprise ever. That'd be the United States of America. To build something like that. So the smaller the coercive enterprises on the whole, the better, because they can't build these very expensive, much more lethal than an AR-15 platforms that have killed, government guns and bombs have killed far, far more people than than what individuals have done with their little AR-15s. I think 300, by the way, all of this outrage and uproar about the bump stocks, about the AR-15s, we're talking about a tool. This is it. A rifle is simply a tool. And the tool is what you make of it. Is it an offensive tool? Is it a defensive tool? For me, I don't have much use for an offensive tool at present. If I was going offensive, it would be in response to, well, I guess it would be offensive to be defensive. So it would still be a defensive tool, a tool of self-defense, in other words. But the rifle, it's simply a tool of self-defense. And it has claimed the lives of maybe 350, something like that, people a year on average. I'm not saying, of course, you know, I got to do the obligatory, but one death, you know, I'm not saying even one death is okay, you know, that all. Do my virtue signaling there. I got that out of the way. But we're talking about 350 deaths in a population of 320 million. And for that, you want to whip people up to a frenzy and let them imagine that some sort of hysterical, like AR-15s are running down the streets and raping children and killing old ladies. That's the hysteria that you're building up.
And it's just not true. I actually have the breakdown here from 2016, if you want to go over. It's up to you.
Yeah, go ahead.
So U.S. population in 2016, 324,059,091. That's as of June 22nd, 2016. 30,000 gun-related deaths by firearms for that year. That means that 0.00925 of the population died from a gun-related incident. But if you break that number down, which is something that the left and the media who like to highlight these higher numbers, they never ever do that. So if you put these 30,000 firearm-related deaths into perspective, first you got to break down that 30,000 number and then make that comparison to other causes of death in America statistically. So 65% of those 30,000 are deaths by suicide. Clearly, that is not going to be prevented by guns, by gun legislation. Not going to happen. So those deaths are going to happen, whether it's by firearm, by noose, by taking
the bridge. I think you could argue that maybe less people would have chosen to kill themselves if they didn't have a gun. But you don't know. And the difference probably isn't going to be significant.
Right. That's a tough argument to make. 15% of that 30,000 are by law enforcement. So that leaves 17% that are through civilian criminal activity. 3% are accidental discharge deaths. So if you want to talk about technically death by gun violence, is definitely not accurately reflected in that 30,000 number that the left and the media likes to parade in front of the average Joe. But when then you start to dig a little bit into these, that the numbers a little bit more, that 30,000 drops down to 5,100. And if you look at those numbers and how they're spread out across the nation, 480 homicides were in Chicago. That's 9.4%. 344
gun homicides
were in Baltimore. That's 6.7%. 333 in Detroit. That's 6.5%. 119 or 2.3% were in Washington, D.C. So 25% of all the gun crime happens in four cities.
And how much of that is related to the drug war? Because you created a violent black market by ruthlessly going after people who are exchanging something that isn't directly harming right. others. It may hurt themselves, but it's not directly right. harming others.
So if you remove that 25% that happens in those four cities, that leaves 3,825 for the rest of the entire nation. Or about 75 deaths per state per year. But you also have to keep in mind that that's an average. So some states are going to have higher rates than others. For example, California had 1,169, while Alabama had just one. So those numbers are not equally distributed across the nation. So it's not accurate in saying 75 deaths per state. So now you have to take that, and I want you to keep that 5,100, 5,100. Per year that are firearm related. Okay. So we have 40,000 plus that die every year from drug overdoses, and that includes dangerous prescription drugs. 36,000 people die every year from the flu. 34,000 people die every year in traffic fatalities. And here is where the numbers get absolutely insane. 200,000 plus people die each year from preventable medical errors. You are literally safer walking in the worst parts of Baltimore or Chicago than you are when you walk into a hospital.
Good times.
Right? So that is absolutely crazy. So know the numbers, because the numbers they're parading around are absolute.
I mean, the bottom line is that they're using their histrionics to whip up fear, to try to egg people on. Yes, I got an egg reference in there in honor of Richard Gere's egg slicer comment.
Look at that number. Look at that number that we're hearing right now. I just watched an interview from that kid, Hogue or whatever the heck his name is, and he's talking about how absolutely atrocious and ridiculous it is that we've had 18 school shootings since the turn of the year. 18 school shootings since the opening.
And they know that's a lot. I mean,
and it's a total
technically. Technically, there were 18 school shootings, but when you say
there weren't. No, two incidents were suicides. One was himself in the parking lot of a former school. Not even a school. Not even an actual school. It was shut down, shuttered, boarded up. These are the numbers that they're putting out in front of people and saying this was a school shooting. It was a school that was closed 25 years ago.
Right. The bottom line, and on top of that, because of this, you know, think about what they're doing to children. They're creating, they're filling these kids with terror. This is an act of terrorism. What these people are doing right now, actually, they are literally terrorizing children with lies. They're making children believe that they live in a world of pandemic violence, and their only hope is that the government be all-powerful, all-seeing, and all-knowing. So this is why, for me, I have no patience with gun grabbers. I don't even have patience with anyone who I think is even remotely apologetic on the side of gun grabbers. I won't say any patience, but very little. Patience, because I view these folks as nothing more than Hitler cheerleaders. It's pretty much the way that I view them. They're the ones that, and yes, Larry, Paul and Jeff, that would be the narrative. Paul and Jeff, we hate the children. It's not us. We don't hate the children. We don't want to fill children with fear. We don't want my daughter gets lectures at school about, and I've said this multiple times, I want my daughter to do unschooling. I practice peaceful parenting, so I don't coercively force her to come home to do unschooling. And she chooses to go to government schools, unfortunately. So she goes to these government schools where they're actually giving them, I won't say, she didn't say there were drills, but they're talking, they're giving them training of some sort, even though it's just in the form of like lecture training, but they're giving them training in how to deal with a mass shooting. So these kids are going to bed at night fearful, wondering when they go to school the next day, will they be shot up? And they have more chances of being struck by lightning three freaking times in one day. I might not be totally accurate with that, but I'm being hyperbolic here, than they do being shot at school. That's what they're doing, and they're doing it in the name of whipping people up so that they will turn to Daddy Gov and beg Daddy Gov. Beg Daddy Gov. Please, please take away our means of self-defense. Please make us even more reliant on your protection, even though we have plenty of examples of your protection fundamentally fails, as it did in Florida, you know, as it did in Florida, because
it's not just Florida, Paul. I mean, we have this recent school shooting. We've got the Orlando shooting. That was a gun free. The Aurora shooting. That was I mean, you go down the list of where these mass shootings occur, and it's every single time. It's a legislated gun free zone. The appeal for a mass shooter is that these are easy, soft targets, fish in a barrel situation. They know they're not going to encounter resistance, or if they do encounter resistance, the resistance is going to be very, very light. There is very little risk. The real question that we need to start asking ourselves is why? What is motivating these young people to do these types of things? What is the motivation here behind this? And it certainly is not the ease of access to firearms, because I'm going to tell you right now, firearms were a whole hell of a lot easier to get your hands on 30, 40, 50, 60, 100 years ago, and we didn't have these issues. Now all of a sudden we have all of these suicides that are related to young people, mass shootings related to young people, and all of this is spurred in the last 30 years. So what has changed? And it certainly is not the ease of access to firearms, because if anything, firearms have become more difficult to obtain, not easier. Five-year-old kids used to be able to order firearms out of the Sears catalog, for God's sakes.
Larry said, buy some lava soap with pumice to wash the children's blood from your hands. Pumice is the key. I just want to ask you, Larry, you know a lot about washing children's blood from your hands. Just saying. Just floating that out there. Larry, by the way, is trolling, which is okay. It's a thing he does. It's okay. But this is... We ended up talking basically the whole show about this, I guess. And I didn't think we would. I had a whole show planned, but that's fine. It's what happens. But this is... Now, this is, to me, the right response to all of this, as I've been thinking about it more and more, is I'm not interested in going to legislators and begging them not to pass dangerous laws. I'm not interested in trying to have a debate with the gun grabbers who want to tell me that I hate kids because I don't want to get these dangerous guns off the streets, when I know full well that there's no freaking epidemic, dude. You're either lying or you're a fool. Either way, my respect for you is non-existent. You're not a person of trust that I wish to associate with. So what I've been working on, trying to my small part, if you will, is to send a message that those of us that believe, listen, we're going to ignore these crappy laws. Okay, we can ignore the crappy laws. They're not going to send out people to confiscate our guns. But then one of us, for one reason or another, whether we get pulled over for something unrelated and they find one of these guns that's on the list, or whether we have to use the gun in self-defense, whatever it is, whatever the situation might be, when they go after that person, then the rest of us need to come to the aid of that person. When they show up to arrest that person, there needs to be people that stand between them and that person's house. They need to understand that they can't just pick people off one by one, because that's what they're going to want to do. And they don't need to, they're not like, they don't need to pick us all off. They just, you know, make a showcase here and there. And they know if they keep doing that, well, they think, and they could be right. I'm not saying whether, maybe they won't be. I don't know. But theoretically, they're counting on, if they make a few show examples, it's going to create more and more fear amongst the people that have decided to ignore the laws. And less people will continue to ignore the laws. And the next generation of people who then have an opportunity to go out and try to illegally obtain these guns on the prescription list, they'll be less likely to do that. But if you have people going out and saying, no, we're not doing this. In the 30s, you had FDR who tried to implement strict price controls. And he would send out agents. And in the beginning, people would listen to what the agents had to say, and they would, you know, say you need to. They would go and they would check out the inventory of your store, and they would say these are the prices, this is what they should be. And in the beginning, it was kind of, they just kind of ignored it. You know, the agents would come in and say you need to do this, and then they just ignored it. And then somebody would come back, and they would like trying to enforce it. And there may have been a couple arrests, but then all of a sudden. Things changed when everybody decided, you know what? We're not putting up with this crap. So when the agents started to show up, they were beat up. bad things happened to these agents. And then the FDR administration quietly dropped the program. And they dropped the program because they realized not only was it an unenforceable, like, at a large scale, but it wasn't even enforceable in a targeted way. And that's the key. If people can demonstrate to the powers that be that their legislation is not even, that they can't even enforce it in a selective manner, they're going to quietly, they'll do one of two things. They'll take the laws off the books like they did with Prohibition, or they'll simply just not enforce the laws, but they'll leave them on the books in case somewhere down the road they're able to turn the public to be more docile than it is, so that they can then have another try at it. Do you have anything to add there?
I think you pretty much covered it.
Yeah.
I think you got it pretty good.
I think we're at the end of the show there. We ended up spending the whole time talking about this. We didn't, you know what? I don't know. We can go a little bit later. I don't know if you can.
I'm okay. Yeah, let's whatever you feel like, man.
Just go a little bit later, and I want to end this on a happy note. So I'm going to jump. We're going to skip the Skynetter segment, and we're going to go to Liberty Tech. And I just want to cover this story because I just want to make it clear. There's a lot of stuff happening out there that actually, if you live in my world and you go through the type of news I go through, which you can see an aggregate of that on iState.tv, there's actually more good stuff, way more good stuff happening than bad stuff. And a lot of this good stuff that's happening, it's going to make it more and more difficult for the powers that be to enforce these onerous, oppressive laws.
Are coercive associations being outmoded by technology? On Liberty Tech, we cover stories of emerging tech that suggest the days of coercive associations, even large-scale centralized operations, may be numbered.
That's the point of Liberty Tech. And the story that we're doing here is... Oh, I clicked on the wrong thing. Okay, now the story that we're doing is the blockchain bank will be powered by AI, and her name is Amanda. Did I trigger you?
I am triggered. This is my wife's name. I am triggered.
And it's a AI, and I know how much you love AI. AI, oh, yeah, is my friend. So this is a company called Money Token, and they're bringing an AI assistant online that should help in the development of a blockchain-based financial institution, a blockchain bank, if you will. And this is it's an article from ambcrypto.com. That's ambcrypto.com. Let me show the address there so you can... There you go. I think you can see it there. So... from the article here, Money Token is a blockchain-based financial ecosystem that solves one of the obvious problems that has been existing for quite a long time. Amanda, the AI built by Money Token, will tackle the problem of getting a loan backed by crypto assets. Ooh, this is very dangerous stuff. The working objective of the company is simple. They provide liquid funds for the value of the crypto assets that you currently have. At the time of your repayment of funds, the same amount of crypto assets you pledged as collateral will be given back, even if the value of the assets have increased. The AI, Amanda, will take care of processing of loans and oversee entire operations and even warn investors of any margin calls. And this will make the short-term investors and long-term holders benefit from their investments in cryptocurrencies while leveraging cryptocurrency-backed loan. The organization has adopted a more customer-centric approach by eliminating credit checks. The loan shall be credited based on the... And by the way, if you're eliminating credit checks, that means you're eliminating the need to be entangled with the coercive enterprise. So the loan shall be credited based on the collateral in the ratio of 1-2. The loan amount shall not only be provided in fiat currencies, rather, if the investor plans to mobilize his funds while within cryptocurrency market, the fund shall be provided on any of the stable digital currency. So And I'm not saying that money token as it exists and as it's working, like it's kind of working within, it's got that fiat currency element, which I'd like to see done away with. But this is just a sign of things to come. This is why it is that so many countries out there, so many states in America are trying to figure out a way to rein in the power of blockchain, or really what we're talking about is it's called fintech. And what fintech is going to enable individuals and free associations to do is to create a whole financial marketplace that isn't restricted by the onerous regulations of the traditional financial sector. And folks, if you want to know where the real power in the world is, I'm going to argue it's the bankers.
I don't think there's a real argument there.
I don't think there's a real argument
against that.
I'm sure somebody out there will say, no, you didn't know about this. Maybe you're right. But as far as I know, no, it's the bankers. And to have something emerge like this that could, and I don't necessarily think money token is the answer that I'm talking about, but it's just a hint of things to come. And to be sure, yeah, they're going to pass regulations to try to track blockchains, control them, and regulate them and prevent them from doing just what I'm saying that they're going to do, which is to create viable alternative sources for funding that are outside of the purview, the entanglement, if you will, of the coercive enterprise. And the more rules and regulations that they put on the visible blockchains, the stupid blockchains, I'm going to say, the ones that decide to play along and be part of the entanglement, the more you're going to see that I'm going to call it Liberty Market. I'm not going to call it a black market. I'm going to call it a Liberty Market. You're going to see that Liberty Market grow. And you see more and more people go to that Liberty Market. And there's so many opportunities that are about ready to emerge that will enable individuals and free associations to truly disentangle themselves from the coercive enterprise. So I just wanted to make sure that we ended this show on an up note, because we spent almost the whole show talking about some really, really horrible stuff. But I did offer a solution, too, so I didn't just complain. Larry made another DentaCoin reference. He says, big move by DentaCoin today. You can now buy 1,248 DentaCoins for $1. Really? Wow. DentaCoin is on the way, Larry. It's on the way. You better be hodling. But I did offer an alternative. It's called networking. You know, there's Cell411 and other type of peer-to-peer services out there. They'd enable us to connect to one another and call on one another when we have a need. And sometimes that need is when a government shows up to enforce a bad law. And I'm not talking about showing up with guns to fight the government. I'm talking about putting your bodies between you and the person behind the door that they're trying to get to, forcing them to really show who and what they really are. I can almost guarantee you the response is going to go away. You have anything else to add before we punch this puppy in the head?
I don't want to poo-poo on the good feelings that we're going out on. So
okay. I'm sorry. I like to end in positive ways.
Right. I'll do some plugs. How's that sound?
Do some plugs. Hey, you're doing one new show, and you're still doing another.
Right, one new show, too. Right. So Friday night, 10 p.m. Eastern on the Liberty Radio Network. Tune in for the Torchwood Report. That's myself and my co-host Matthew Taylor. Talk about stuff. We've decided on changing the flavor of the show. We're going to be focused more on technology and tech stuff. less on the political. I mean, we're probably still going to mention some political stuff and still going to have some of those conversations.
Well, it's hard to avoid politics completely when you're talking about tech, yes.
Right. But the main focus, I believe, in that show going forward is going to be tech stuff, whether it's new developments, whatever it may be. And then I also, on Sunday night at 9 p.m. Eastern, and that's a tentative time for right now. I'm kind of just feeling the waters out. Just did the first show last week. So I'm kind of leaving it up to the audience, depending on what they want. If the audience wants it to be a little bit earlier, I'll do a little earlier. If they want it to be a little later, do a little later. But for right now, it's 9 p.m., and that is on the Trump Revolution page, 9 p.m. Eastern.
And that's the Trump Revolution Facebook page, right? Not the group.
Right, and that's the Sunday Night Niz. And if you want to know where it's at, just go up in the search bar on Facebook and type in hashtag Sunday Night Niz, and it should bring you right to it.
And Larry said he misses Disassociation Nation. I don't. We kind of outgrew that, right?
Yeah, we took that as far as we could possibly take it.
Yeah, yeah. All right, and so for me, my plugs are iState.tv. Everything is there. You go to iState.tv, you're going to get an aggregate of news. You're going to get articles. You're going to get editorials. You're going to get a lot of shows. I do two shows a day, Monday through Thursday. I do headlines you may have missed on my personal Facebook page, Paul Gordon. And I'm doing that right now. I'm kind of playing around with the times, but I'm varying it between 10:30 a.m. and 12:30 p.m. Eventually, I will settle on one time. And I'm just playing around to see where I get the best results with that. But it won't be later than 12:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and it won't be earlier than 10:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And then Is Daily, which we do right here on the Liberty Principle Facebook page. Do this 4 days a week. On Monday and every day, it's me and a different co-host. So and for those of you that listen, I'm sure that you figured out, like, these shows, they definitely have a different vibe. Each show is different, and it's because of the two hosts working the way that, you know, all the co-hosts are different. So we have different topics that we generally cover. Generally, though, like, we don't do guns a lot on this show. The last two shows have been all about guns.
That's, well, it's inescapable at this point. I mean, you can't really.
Right now,
there's no
is.
Getting away from it.
Right now. I mean, you think about it. It's a week later, and the hysteria is still going full throttle. So,
right.
On that note, I'll thank everybody who joined us here on the Liberty Principle Facebook page to watch Is Daily Wednesday with myself, Paul Gordon, and the one true Niz. We'll see you next week on Is Daily Wednesday right here, same bat time, bat channel. And be sure you tune in tomorrow for Is Daily Thursday, when I will be joined with Lou Sander of the Freedom Fiends, who is the Is Daily Thursday co-host. Thank you, everybody, and have a wonderful rest of your evening. And remember, there's plenty of things to be hopeful about, and there's plenty of ways that you can take action to actually build your liberty right where you're at and help others do the same. And yes, get Cell 411. That's one really, really excellent tool to help with that. And with that note, good night, everybody.